Hello, and welcome to Page Turn, the Largo Public Library podcast. I'm your host, Hannah. Page Turn is a monthly podcast bringing you information about great books, library news, and fun library tidbits from your favorite programs, as well as a Spanish language book review from Victor. But as always, we start with Reader's Advisory. Camino Rios lives for the summers when her father visits her from the Dominican Republic. But this time, on the day when his plane is supposed to land, Camino arrives at the airport to see crowds of crying people. In New York City, Guajira Rios is called to the principal's office, where her mother is waiting to tell her that her father, her hero, has died in a plane crash. Separated by distance and Poppy's secrets, the two girls are forced to face a new reality in which their father is dead and their lives are forever altered. And then, when it seems like they've lost everything of their father, they learn of each other. Today's Reader's Advisory is Clap When You Land by Elizabeth Acevedo. Clap When You Land is a realistic novel written in verse. The book deals with family secrets and grief using multiple perspectives. The writing is lyrical and thoughtful while being emotionally intense. Readers may also enjoy Turtle Under Ice by Julia Del Rosseo. Rowena feels like her family is a frayed string of lights that someone needs to fix with electrical tape. After her mother died a few years ago, she and her sister, Ariana, drifted into their own corners of the world, each figuring out in their own separate ways how to exist in a world in which their mother is no longer alive. But then Ariana disappears under the cover of night in the middle of a snowstorm, leaving no trace or tracks. When Ro wakes up to a world of snow and her sister's empty bedroom, she is left to piece together the mystery behind where Ariana went and why, realizing along the way that she might be part of the reason Ariana is gone. Haunting and evocative, and told in dual perspectives, Turtle Under Ice examines two sisters frozen by grief as they search for a way to unthaw. Or, I Am Not Your Perfect Mexican Daughter by Erica L. Sanchez. Perfect Mexican daughters do not go away to college, and they do not move out of their parents' house after high school graduation. Perfect Mexican daughters never abandon their family. But Julia is not your perfect Mexican daughter. That was Olga's role. When a tragic accident on the busiest street in Chicago leaves Olga dead and Julia left behind to reassemble the shattered pieces of her family, and no one seems to acknowledge that Julia is broken, too. Instead, her mother seems to channel her grief into pointing out every possible way Julia has failed. But it's not long before Julia discovers that Olga might not have been as perfect as everyone thought. With the help of her best friend Lorena, and her first kiss, first love, first everything boyfriend Connor, Julia is determined to find out. Was Olga really what she seemed? Or was there more to her sister's story? And either way, how can Julia even attempt to live up to a seemingly impossible ideal? Or, Red at the Bone by Jacqueline Woodson. Moving forward and backward in time, Jacqueline Woodson's taut and powerful new novel uncovers the role that history and community have played in the experiences, decisions, and relationships of these families. As the book opens in 2001, it is the evening of 16-year-old Melody's coming-of-age ceremony in her grandparents' Brooklyn brownstone. Watched lovingly by her relatives and friends, making her entrance to the music of Prince, she wears a special, custom-made dress. But the event is not without poignancy. 16 years earlier, that very dress was measured and sewn for a different wearer. Melody's mother, for her own ceremony. A celebration that ultimately never took place. Unfurling the history of Melody's parents and grandparents to show how they all arrived at this moment, Woodson considers not just their ambitions and successes, but also the costs, the tolls they've paid for striving to overcome expectations and escape the pool of history. As it explores sexual desire and identity, ambition, gentrification, education, class and status, and the life-altering facts of parenthood, Red at the Bone most strikingly looks at the ways in which young people must so often make long-lasting decisions about their lives, even before they have begun to figure out who they are and what they want to be. Bonus segment! My personal favorite Goodreads list, clap when you land, is on, is Diversify Your Bookshelves. Happy reading, everyone! This month's library tidbit comes to us from Hillary and is all about augmented reality. Augmented reality is a technology that bridges the physical world and the digital world. Unlike virtual reality, which completely replaces the user's reality, augmented reality changes or enhances only part of the user's reality. This is done most often by changing the visual or auditory stimuli that the user is receiving from the world around them. But augmented reality can also be done using haptic perception, scent, and the somatosensory system. Haptic perception is the body's ability to recognize objects through exploratory touch. The somatosensory system is the body's conscious perception of touch, pressure, pain, temperature, position, movement, and vibration. At its most basic level, augmented reality works by taking in data and then manipulating that data onto a display. There are different setups, but for every single one, an operating system, a computer or smartphone, takes in data using one or more cameras. The information is then processed through software, and the manipulated data is presented back to the user on a display of some sort, typically onto a screen. To make more realistic augmented reality, more than just visual data is needed. The operating system must also be able to sense depth, light, motion, and location, and to be able to interact and feed that information back to the user. This is why only new generations of smartphones are able to provide augmented reality to users. There are three ways that users can use augmented reality: through devices, smartphones, tablets, etc., using a PC or connected TV player, or through a head-mounted display and glasses. Contact lenses are in the works, but are not available yet. Each different system type has its advantages and disadvantages. Devices can be cumbersome to continually hold. PC and TV web cameras can be in inconvenient places, making it tricky to get the view correct. And head-mounted displays can be uncomfortable with long-time use. Additionally, a common side effect in using augmented reality is nausea or motion sickness. There are a lot of different applications for augmented reality. The field that most of us will use is entertainment. However, augmented reality has been applied to industrial use, psychiatric use, medical use, technological use, and military use. One of the earliest augmented reality uses was in flight simulators for military training purposes. Recent years have seen the use of augmented reality in therapies for individuals who have suffered neurological injuries. Patients with spinal injuries that received augmented reality therapy show mostly positive outcomes. Medical uses for augmented reality is newer than in some other fields of use, but the outcome of it seems to be positive. While Pokemon Go was certainly not the first augmented reality game, it was the first to become explosively popular worldwide. This game, and other augmented reality games like it, use your phone cameras and location to allow the player to catch Pokemon, battle other users, and gain in-game items. Along the same lines, a lot of museums, art galleries, and heritage sites are using augmented reality to supplement docent tours. So if you cannot afford the docent tour, if one is not available when you want to visit, or if a docent tour is not accessible for you, you can use augmented reality to learn more about exhibits or sites. Some of these are automated, and some rely on users scanning a QR code to activate it. Interestingly enough, there is current research looking into what, if any, social norms users expect from augmented reality AIs. Do users want them to be fully present, just a voice, or something in between? Do users expect them to interact with the real world, aka ask for doors to be opened rather than just walk through them, or to not interact with the real world? Some research has shown that people like when their AIs present in a way that they would expect an in-person to interact. But there has not been widespread enough research into the social aspect of augmented reality AIs to have a firm understanding of what we want from them. Hillary's augmented reality program will go over the basics of what augmented reality is, how it is different from virtual reality, and then will demonstrate one application of augmented reality. In the program, patrons will be given coloring sheets to fill in. Using the Quiver app, patrons will then see their sheets augmented in various ways depending on what sheet they used. The program is part an introduction to a new technology and part time for relaxation and community building. A lot of augmented reality software out there dives their users feet first into their interfaces, and this program is designed as a more gentle and less jarring introduction. We definitely don't want to give anyone motion sickness. There are a lot of different applications for augmented reality with various levels of immersion. As someone who does get headaches and nausea from the more immersive versions available right now, I've enjoyed some of the less immersive games that have come out for smartphones. We hope you enjoy our program and learn something a little new about augmented reality. And now it's time for Book Traveler with Victor.
Bienvenido, viajero de libros. Soy Víctor, un bibliotecario aquí en la Biblioteca Pública de Largo, y hoy les voy a estar hablando sobre un libro que tenemos en la colección en español, que se titula Me dicen Güero, por David Bowes. La sinopsis. Güero es un niño pálido, pelirrojo y con gustos de nerd, que además de ser mexicano-americano, viene de la frontera. Deseando haber nacido morenito para que nadie cuestionara su identidad, la familia de Güero le aconseja ser agradecido por las ventajas que le da su tez clara y usarla para abrir puertas para el resto de la familia. La voz de Güero resuena en la novela a través de varias expresiones poéticas, desde sonetos hasta rap, versos libres a haikus. Vibrante e inolvidable, esta colección es obligatoria para los jóvenes lectores, juntos con libros de inmigración, asimilación cultural e historias de la vida mexicoamericana. En mi opinión, a nuestro personaje principal le dicen Güero. Después de haber hecho un poco de investigación, la palabra Güero se usa en México y se refiere a cualquier persona de pelo y piel claros. El término Güero no tiene connotación política y los mexicanos incluso se refieren a compatriotas rubios como güeros. Nuestro personaje, Güero, vive en un pueblo cerca de la frontera entre México y Estados Unidos. El libro está escrito en prosa y el tema central es la forma en que la frontera lo afecta a él y a quienes lo rodean. Güero se describe a sí mismo como un niño fronterizo y es muy observador con su vida familiar y sus amigos. Güero cuestiona su identidad y ha aceptado en forma que su identidad está moldeada por una cultura dividida por una frontera. El primer poema reitera que Güero, a pesar de que se identifica como un mexicoamericano, estadounidense, todavía tiene dificultades para aceptarlo. La crisis de identidad de Güero ocurre muchas veces a lo largo del libro, especialmente porque Güero se ve blanco como un estadounidense y los niños se burlan de él. El libro es bastante corto y fácil de leer, pero me hubiese gustado ver a Güero desarrollarse más. Quería conocer más sus sentimientos hacia su familia y sus amigos. Sería muy interesante ver cómo Güero navega a través de la cultura dividida a su alrededor. Güero es el ejemplo de un joven moderno creciendo entre dos culturas, viviendo su propia realidad mientras se encuentra a sí mismo y busca aprender más sobre su cultura. Es todo por hoy, hasta la próxima edición de Viajero de Libros. Adiós.
Thanks, Victor, for another great book review. Remember, if you do not speak Spanish, check out our English language translation in the show notes. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Click on our events calendar to see what events we're holding. Wear a mask when you come inside the library. Stay safe. We hope to talk to you again soon. And gain in game. Oh, my accent's terrible on this one. Okay, great.